Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the preview show on Football Ramble Daily, sponsored by Betway. Jose Mourinho's joined Spurs. Jose Mourinho's joined Spurs. Jose Mourinho's joined Spurs. Hi, gang. Marcus, Luke, Jimmy and Peter in your ears. Peter, you're smiling away.
I was just thinking about what Jules Breach said on Twitter last night. She said, right, he's going to come out of the jungle. I'll go, what the hell is going on? What's going on?
You think he's gone out? He'll think he's come out of I'm a Celebrity and gone straight into the Truman Show.
I'd watch that.
And what's more, Ian? You're now manager of Stoke.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, not that long ago, we were joking with old Jimmy Campbell here that Jose Mourinho is being linked to the Arsenal job. And it filled Jim with a sense of exhaustion and dread.
Yes.
And now he's joined Tottenham Hotspur, their rivals, because Maurizio Pochettino was kicked out of the club. That's for not winning a trophy, Poch.
And now Jim's dread is just from your general life, not from Mourinho.
No, it's still there. Okay, it's still tedium and dread. It's just on the other side of the North London.
Nah, you still got a little bit of a chance. End of season, he might already be slung his up.
Can I follow up with something Jim said in the past, and it's something that very much applies to this current situation, that sometimes things happen in football and you see them in the shirt or carrying things or appearing at a certain place, and it just looks weird.
Yes.
This is one of those.
Oh, isn't it just, with the I mean, he's got a cock on his chest, which is, I suppose, appropriate now.
Yeah.
But it still looks really, really strange to see the JM on his kit and stuff. And just even him with those players, they look a bit bewildered by it as well from the pictures. But it could go so many ways, this, couldn't it? Because you would think with Mourinho's track record, he will win Spurs a trophy. And I feel strongly the best day you have as a football fan when your team wins something. It's brilliant. And Spurs are overdue that. But also, it seems very at odds with the general sort of long-term planning that Spurs pride themselves on. Because unless they think they can change him, and they wouldn't be the first, would they? Let's be honest. We know how this tends to go. But I think Mourinho lives in London. He loves London. He loves to be loved. And I think he would probably be able to engender that from the fan base. Because, you know, people talk about him playing sort of rubbish football. But that's not always true, is it? I think that's an oversimplification of Mourinho. Sometimes it can be very sort of defensive and very pragmatic. But generally, when he takes over a club, he revitalises them. He gets the players' confidence up because he's a good man manager when he wants to be. And they start playing well. They sort of, do you remember under Chelsea, he would eke out a 4-0. All the time.
Yeah.
It's a weird thing, but he's sort of managed to do
2005.
It.
2005.
Yeah.
He won the league with them in his second spell.
I think we need to row right back to the beginning, though, and there's plenty to chat about Mourinho, but I feel like, Marcus, I don't know about you and Pete, but we need to start with the fact that Pochettino's left the club.
Yes.
Because, I mean, his... His role at Spurs has been amazing. I don't think it's an exaggeration to say that it's been revolutionary. I mean, all you've got to do is consider the following two things. I think one is that he's a longer serving coach there since, I think, the mid-70s. And two, if you look through that list of Tottenham managers, the person he took over from was Tim Sherwood.
Mm. Yeah.
Now, how ridiculous it is to have any kind of manager even associated with Spurs now like that, even though Harry Redknapp did say on the radio this morning that he texted Daniel Levy.
Is that
earlier.
Right?
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know for what reason.
But did it, did the text just say till the end of the season?
I've
got a load of car radios. Do you want one? Yeah.
But the Pochettino situation is a really, I think, a multi-layered thing. And of course, these days in football, everyone's got an opinion on it. All the commentary have said their thing already.
Well, it's time for us to say our thing.
Yeah, it is. And it's a curious thing because the job he did there was amazing. It was amazing. And I have to start by saying, I think the statement that Spurs released was quite poorly worded in two particular occasions. The one saying relieved of his duties, and I think the first sentence, but I think was hugely disrespectful. I think he could have at least gone a mutual consent route with that. And the second one was domestic form extending into last season as well. And it's like, well, got a Champions League final. So, I mean, you know, what more do you want? They delivered Champions League football again. But on the flip side to that, clearly something was wrong. I don't know that if you want to consider yourself to be a hugely top club and you think that this stadium has delivered you that and now you want to kick on, I don't know if any other top club would have accepted the form that Pochettino has presided over for the last however many months. And that's probably a factor.
Yeah.
But ultimately, it's one of those things where it's come to an end, probably at the right time. Mm-hmm. But what he did for the club should never be forgotten.
Well, absolutely. When you say it came to the end at the right time, I understand that. But I still feel...
You think he could have turned it around?
Well, I don't think this is just Pochettino's fault. I think you have to look at everyone.
I think it's Pochettino's fault at all.
Well,
really?
I mean, as he always does, you know, our friend and rambler in arms, Jonathan Wilson, wrote an excellent piece and spoke about Pochettino's methods influenced by Bielsa, not the archetypal Bielsa disciple, as Jonathan will often refer to some people as, but he played under Bielsa at Newell's in Argentina. And Pochettino's methods, as Jonathan says, are exhausting, which is why he would often switch over the fullbacks, famously, of course, in previous seasons. And sometimes players, they just get exhausted. And cycles of teams come to an end. We felt, didn't we, as a lot of people did, the Champions League was perhaps the peak of that side. But Jonathan was saying that this the damage was done really probably I don't want to misquote him now, but was it two seasons ago or two summer transfer windows ago, when Levy didn't back Pochettino and they didn't recycle the squad a bit. You know, Ferguson at Manchester United is the great example of how he would have teams and he would break them up before they got maybe sick of his methods or used to it, and then rejuvenate whilst keeping a core of players. Ferguson was the master at that, as he showed, and in his career is testament to that.
He also, Jonathan also said in that same article, I forget which player he was talking about, but there was a sort of culture at Spurs in training of don't look at the boss, because apparently things had got quite sort of fraught.
Well, that was towards the end, though.
When it gets to that point, though, there's
been a bottleneck at some point in the club's sort of hierarchy about bringing players in. Now, of course, he was given a couple of players that he was after in the more recent transfer window,
and they've been injured and stuff.
Yeah, but I don't think that was anywhere near enough anyway.
No,
but to
finish my point that's the reason why this has happened. It's happened. I agree totally with Jonathan that it didn't happen just because on this season's form. It's because they didn't take the measures that perhaps Pochettino is really pushing for, and it's come back. You know, you reap what you sow. And if you want to be a top club and you want to stay there, you're going to have to do this.
Yes.
And Pochettino was the master at producing a side, bringing youth players through, buying players on a shoestring budget, which is, of course, what Levy and Spurs like because of the stadium and other reasons.
And what Jose likes too.
Well, this is the thing. You said they're top club, and that phrase has come up a few times in this conversation already. And I think it's really key. And the reason it's really key is because Daniel Levy has spent the last however many years trying to turn Spurs into a club that could hire someone like Jose Mourinho.
Yeah, absolutely.
And now they've done it. But the problem is...
They've met in the middle, haven't they? Jose Mourinho's kind of
lowered his expectations
a little bit.
No, I think it's really fascinating because some of the facts that have been bandied around Mourinho, if we want to move on to that, the two that really stick in my mind are he's getting paid 80 grand a week more than the highest paid player's basic salary.
Yeah.
Right?
And
two,
and the fact that we know that as well shows how publicly that is out there.
He spent, at one point, he spent more money in a 12-week period at Man United than Pochettino spent in 5.5 years.
Yeah, well, there you are.
So what does that tell you? That tells you that one thing or the other's got to give.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So we either believe Mourinho that he's changed and that he's so happy to be there and that he's really encouraged by the squad they've got and the players available in the academy he wants to bring through.
What's the second one we didn't believe?
Yeah. Yeah.
Which even, it was difficult to get to the end of that statement.
Without giggling.
Yeah, without cancelling the whole thing. Or Levy is now going to have to do what he's been reluctant to do in the past and walk the walk instead of just talking the talk. Wow. And it's going to be the spiciest meatball of the season. Yeah. So fucking tuck
but
in.
Jose has proved himself for having like two terrible transfer windows at Manchester United and bringing in players that just did not perform.
I think two is very generous. Yeah.
Incredibly so. I think there's
can't wait to see Matic there.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying.
The thing is, I think there's an Ed Woodward factor at Man United.
They're a badly run club.
Yeah, quite. So I think Spurs are a much better run in that regard. So that transfer window is going to be interesting to see how much they've got.
Well, the last day of the transfer window, which is where they do all of their business on the first day or the last day. They don't do anything in the middle.
Another thing that makes the meatball even spicier, right? If we get to January or even the summer and Levy shells out 200 million on a lot of players for Mourinho, what are the fans going to say? They're going to say, well, hang on a minute. We loved Poch. Yep. He was brilliant for us. He was one of us. And you didn't give him the money. Yep. So why are you giving it to Mourinho now?
And then
the only thing Levy can say in turn is, well, I gave Poch the money, but he didn't want to spend it, which is sort of some of the things you're hearing coming out in rumours that Pochettino started to believe his own hype a bit. He didn't want to stick his neck out and put his name to a big money signings in case it went wrong. I don't know if that's true, but they're the rumours. So it's just the spiciest meatball. Well, I keep coming back to the same phrase. There's so much there to enjoy.
I have a theory on how this could get spicier because obviously we've all been sort of mulling this over.
Let me just relax.
Give us the Corville scale.
Scoville scale.
So Sergio Aguero is what? 31? Is he? So he's coming to probably to the end of his peak years.
Hopefully not for Betway Ford score reasons. We'll come back in a minute.
It'll be this weekend that he comes to the end of his.
But potentially Man City will want to keep an eye on that. Maybe they'll want to replace him. Harry Kane would be the obvious choice, in a sense. Harry Kane will want to go on and win trophies. He's very likely to do that at Man City. Possible at Spurs, less likely. Mourinho will want to raise funds to splurge it on loads of players. Could he sell Harry Kane?
This is turning into an Arsenal fans masturbatory fantasy.
That would not be a vote winner, let's say.
It wouldn't, but does Mourinho care about that?
But what do you think? Because one of the things that is quite interesting, just to take it on another dimension, is that, and Andy and Lars talked about it quite articulately yesterday on the continent, about the staff that Mourinho's brought in, which if you're interested in kind of, backroom staff from Liga, which those guys are, it's quite interesting the kind of people he's brought in. Mm. And Andy's been very positive about it. What do you guys think about where Poch is going to go?
Was it Barney Rona who wrote at the end of his piece?
Barney Rona.
You sounded a bit like, what's his name from Only Fools and Horses?
Boise.
I have been accused of that before.
Have you? Barney Rona? Go on.
Barney Rona.
What did he say?
Barney Rona.
Yeah, that guy.
Who cares?
I preferred my way, to be perfectly honest.
Yeah, I do too.
I think it was old BR, who said that he ended his piece by something saying along the lines of, I'm more concerned about Spurs' future than Pochettino's. The future for Spurs is more clouded, whereas Pochettino. Tell you something, him leaving that job there, whatever you may think, like I say, if I was a Spurs fan, I'd still be gutted. And I think that I think Levy and co, for my money, where I'm sitting right now, my thoughts on it. Yes, Luke, you're right. It could come out that maybe Pochettino believed his hype and blah, 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 blah. You don't know what goes on behind closed doors, and there'll be a lot of different versions of what's gone on. But for my money, I think that had they have managed that a little bit better, Pochettino could have been there for another 3 or 4 years.
Yeah.
Long stints that we've seen with Ferguson and Wenger seem to be a thing of the past. But he could have been there for a lot longer. I think it's gutting. But, sorry, Peter?
Well, did you think that if he hadn't... Because they kind of stumbled through the final matches of the Champions League in a spectacular, memorable fashion. But if they hadn't got out of the group stage, for example, or they'd just won one match outside of the group stage... Would he not already have
But it's very difficult to say that because, I mean, you can say Rafa Benitez is Liverpool, only just got out the group stage, but they went on to win the competition. So football,
it's sliding doors, isn't it, Pete?
Football are full of these moments. I know the reason I depart
from you on that, Marcus, is just purely because I think it shouldn't be, and you have a different interpretation of it with me, and that's obviously cool, but I feel like you can't gloss over how bad they've been.
No, but I agree with
don't
Jonathan.
Think it's hard for them to.
The damage was done.
I mean, the thing is, because they are 11 points off fourth now. So even from this point, even in November, it's going to be tough to finish in the top four, making up that gap.
Yeah, I mean, something that we mentioned a couple of weeks ago is that it's sort of reminiscent of Klopp at Dortmund. You know, sometimes that do you recycle the side or the manager?
And Andy said that yesterday. He just said the only difference is that Dortmund. The thing with Dortmund was longer, essentially.
Well, okay, so he's gone. I mean, with regards to Pochettino, there will be the elite clubs around the continent.
Yeah. If Ed Woodward isn't in a car to wherever Pochettino is right now, he's out
but
of his mind.
But that's the thing.
He's probably stuck in his garage.
But that's the kind
he
of
can't
weird
get the
thing.
Door open.
That's the weird sort of situation for Spurs, because some people will take more kind of what you're saying, Luke, and think, do you know what? It was great while it lasted, but it was just done. Unfortunately, these things happen. But the reaction of the top clubs going, thank you very much, Spurs, that's great. You kind of think, what's the situation? I mean, look, Manchester United, for crying out loud. There's talk of Bayern.
Real
I mean,
Madrid
if,
as well,
well right? if Zidane wasn't at Madrid, I think Zidane...
Well, the talk... I mean,
maybe in the summer.
You look at some of the European papers and read between the lines for the job we're doing stuff. The clubs that have gone high alert when this has happened, and you mentioned a couple of them there, I'll just add to the list. Real Madrid is one of them.
Yep.
PSG is another one.
Yeah.
If PSG, Real Madrid, Bayern Munich and Man United
even
are on
Barcelona,
high alert.
Now I know he played for Espanyol, but he does have a house in Barcelona.
I mean, it's a check for spare money, isn't it? He could make so much money out of the next
Well, Martin Keown was saying Arsenal.
Yeah, imagine.
God, that would be something, wouldn't it?
I think that would be a little bit of a shock.
As an Arsenal fan, would you take him?
No, because he doesn't... Because he puts no value in winning trophies.
Jim, I sometimes think that when Martin Keown feels like it's part of his job to say something, but he hasn't actually got anything to say. He just says anything.
Yeah, absolutely.
And that's how I would categorise that.
I think it would be amazing. But that would make the meatball beyond spicy.
It would be absurd then, wouldn't it? Yeah. It'd be one of those like eating competition meatballs.
Pochettino's not going to go. I'll tell you, I'll put my reputation and what little's left on it now. Don't look at me like that, Pete.
I just see Martin Keown's.
Is that he's not going to go Barcelona, he's not going to go Arsenal.
No.
Rule those out. But one thing that's really interesting is that the reaction of the fans are both on social media and elsewhere on Vox Pops and in different areas has been universally positive about Poch. And I found it quite heartwarming. Now, you can say it's mawkish and you can say it's a little bit sentimental, but he has delivered them some of the best memories they'll have as fans in their
Absolutely.
Lives for a lot of them, because, I mean, he's been the best manager there for a very, very, very long time. And that shouldn't be discredited and that shouldn't be underrepresented. But I should also say, though, that doesn't mean it wasn't the right thing to move on. They might feel like, as a club, that they've got to hire someone else now to take them onto that even bigger level. But if that is the case, and that's really kind of the rationale that's being given, even sort of subconsciously by Daniel Levy, well, the time has come. The time for excuse making is now officially over.
I find it extraordinary that Jose Mourinho, with that trophy cabinet of his, is even at Manchester United, they finished second in the league. They won trophies. I know we
Europa League,
absolutely a European trophy, no
the
less.
Biggest game in their history,
indeed. And they've unprecedented treble.
count them. Hold your fingers up and count them.
Community Shield.
Yeah.
And I forget the other two. But the reaction of the Spurs fans getting him shows you what people think of Mourinho in certain parts of the world now.
It is a really, really interesting one, because we've never seen this before. He's pretty much always been at a club where he's been backed with a sort of super budget. It'd be interesting to see if Pochettino were to go somewhere like PSG, where money is no object.
Yeah.
Be interesting to see how he would adapt to that as well. I suppose the other side of that coin.
It's not unlimited now because of financial fair play. If you look at the stats that have come off the back of the implementation of financial fair play.
I mean, but they've certainly got more money to spend than
that's semantics, really. Like, he's going to get one of the sort of top line budgets that you can get in world football compared to Spurs, where he has to sort of balance the books a bit. But
it's not very often, Jim, that a manager comes into a club and the manager has won more trophies than the entire club in their history.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. But again, it's testament to what Pochettino's done there, because before he was there, we didn't talk of Spurs being a big club. They've got one of the best stadiums in the world now. They are, you know, seen as being a regular in European football. And obviously, as Pete alluded to, Mourinho's stock has fallen a bit as theirs has risen. But it's Pochettino's legacy is potentially going to be there forevermore.
100%.
Well, with regards to Jose Mourinho, Graham Souness believes it's the perfect fit for Tottenham.
So that's the end of that.
Right.
Although apparently Brendan Rodgers was first choice.
Where did you read that? Because I couldn't find that.
I read it everywhere. I read it all over Levy's face.
Well, exactly.
Did you read that in a framed photo bought on Etsy in Brendy Rodgers' house?
But we sort of hear this, that, you know, Jose Mourinho comes in and he's sort of like, he won't have been even third choice, I don't think.
Do you think?
Hey, Mourinho?
Yeah. Yeah,
no. I think he was a standout first choice.
Absolutely. Really?
Yeah, it happened so far. They hired him 10 hours after they released the statement.
They obviously have these conversations before they fire them,
I personally think he was definitely
I think it's somewhere in between what you're saying, because obviously Rodgers was first choice and he was second choice.
Yeah.
You think Jose Mourinho is going to walk in the room and go, I want a ridiculous salary?
Sorry to stop you, Marcus has unilaterally decided that Brendan Rodgers was first choice.
That's been reported.
I think a really important thing, actually.
I could bang it out on a blog and it's technically been reported.
Exactly, yeah. Daniel Levy is a very, very canny operator, and he wants to keep Spurs front and centre in the profile, with a high profile in football. Mourinho brings that. They've got a lot of supporters from abroad as well, and it's a big part of this is keeping them looking like a top club.
We used to do our American phone-in show. It's all anyone.
Oh my god! It was mad. Mourinho's box office.
If Pep Guardiola is the best manager in the world, then Jose Mourinho is by far the most recognisable manager.
Well, his first job is away to West Ham.
And will the Spurs fans be singing what they were singing last time I was at the Spurs Stadium, which is, I think it was last time I was at. Anyway, will they be singing what they sung before when Spurs played Man United, which was to Mourinho, "You're not special anymore"? And will West Ham live to regret that tweet they put out yesterday?
Indeed.
Oh, what did they put out?
A video compilation of Mourinho's failures saying, "See you on Saturday."
Yeah. Oh my God, they're going to get pumped.
I know they're going to get absolutely pumped.
That's a West Ham who haven't won a league game since September.
Yeah. 22nd of September last
year. I'm going to call that a low percentage play.
I couldn't believe West Ham did that. Yeah. I mean, part of me loves it. Another part of me thought, you know what you're heading for, lads. Yeah. Like, what are you playing at? Yeah. Well, West Ham, after a fairly decent-ish start to the season, they're 16th on 13 points from 12 matches. Of course, they've lost 5 in their last 7. They haven't won any of that 7, I don't think. And I wonder if Pellegrini's job's in doubt. And there's the odd tiny little rumour linking Benitez to the job.
Well, the natives are restless at West Ham for sure. I did a radio show last week and we had a West Ham blogger on, and he was saying that, you know, we need to be realistic because Pellegrini is a manager of amazing pedigree, and these things can happen. And I think it's quite hard to think of a manager who would have done a better job of blending all those new signings they brought in. Now, I know they're going for a wobble and it can be difficult. And something seems to have changed in quite a big way since they lost 4-0 away to Oxford United in the League Cup.
Yeah.
Since then, they've not really recovered, have they? I think against Newcastle at home particularly, and then at Burnley away, they were never really in it. It's troubling times for them. If Benitez is available, and then for me personally, that changes the conversation because I really rate him. It feels a bit knee-jerk to me at the moment.
Yeah.
What do you think?
No, I agree. I think that has got 1-0 Spurs win written all over it.
Imagine that. Imagine that. Own goal. And Mourinho's like, Mourinho afterwards, the Jose era is starting.
Yeah. I know.
The knee slide on
Spurs
all
1,
he'll come up with something.
Are you pleased? I know we keep coming back to it, and we are still...
Well, we have to.
We're talking about the game. Are you all pleased that Mourinho's back in the game, or do you find him tedious?
I find him
incredibly tedious, and as you can imagine, this is a nightmare for me. This is the two worst things.
Unless it's a disaster, it'd be brilliant.
I think, you know.
I was enjoying the break, to be honest.
Yeah.
I was enjoying him.
Well,
I'm sorry, you can't pass up this. If they'd have, I don't know, pinched Nagelsmann or Allegri'd gone there.
Marcus, for this show, there's nothing in it for us with Nagelsmann.
Damn right.
There's nothing in it.
Absolutely right. This is what we were. It was either, I can't think, Mourinho or Sven. Do you know what I mean?
Peter, with Mourinho doing his job on Sky Sports, did you feel a bit like you could go and have a little window shop when you felt like it? If you felt like a bit of a Mourinho boost, now you've been forced to stick it to live in an all-you-can-eat buffet.
He was a funny sort of bully in the background as a pundit. But I wonder if Pochettino would do this thing. I suppose this is just a factor of modern football, just the circumstance of it. When a big manager leaves a job, obviously those jobs are quite high-pressured, so they do take a little bit of a break. But whether by design or just by accident, those names then hang over every manager who's under pressure at any other big club. So be interesting to see what Pochettino does next.
Indeed, yeah. All right. Well, why don't we have some emails with PTD?
You email show at footballrambledaily.com. And now Peter's reading it out. Well done.
It's time for emails. Hello to Dave. Strap yourselves in for this one. G'day, gents. I'm a long-time listener and a big fan of all of the new Daily Ramble shows, but I rarely have anything to contribute until now. Around a month ago, you mentioned on your show a story about a footballer, possibly Dutch, who attempted to treat a broken ankle by slathering mustard on it.
Right.
Like a delicious foot-based hot dog.
That seems like an extension of the Felix Magath treatment for Brother Hangerland.
I work as a health researcher at an Australian university, and this got me curious about whether there are actually any benefits of mustard therapy to your typical athlete. And spoiler alert, apparently there is, yes.
Really?
Yeah. Mustard contains a natural steroid called homoprasinilidlide, I think it's called.
Right.
And it occurs at a natural rate of approximately 30 nanograms per individual mustard seed. Mustard seeds themselves weigh approximately very small grams. It doesn't really matter. It's like a zero, loads of zeros after the dot. Mistakenly referred to as the smallest seed by Jesus. Don't have a go at Jesus.
Yeah.
And you would need about 49 mustard seeds for 1 gram of mustard seed of this stuff. The average jar of mustard takes around 1,000 seeds to produce, which means that for every 20 or so jars of mustard, you have successfully consumed 1 gram of homoprasinilidlide. So how much do I need to become Arnold Schwarzenegger, I hear you ask? Well, I could find precisely one study where this mustard as a steroid experiment was attempted, and it suggested an ideal dose of 60 milligrams per kilo of body weight each day for 21 days, which is apparently meaning that you need to consume somewhere in the region of 85 jars of mustard per day, every day, for 3 weeks, and that would yield a 70% increase in grip strength if you are, in fact, an adult rat. So any adult rats...
It would get up your nose, Pete, wouldn't it?
Any adult rats.
I'm thinking of the ham you have to eat with it.
Bodybuilders want to get involved, get eating those mustard seeds, guys, all right?
Mustard.
Yeah, Marcus,
why?
You don't like condiments anyway.
You don't like,
anyway.
Condiments, though. You don't
like taste. But you can't just eat mustard, I mean, unless you're Alan Partridge. I mean, a teaspoon of mustard is a killer.
Yeah.
I used to have a board game when I was a kid called Dare, obviously outlawed now, but the challenges would be stuff like... Eat a teaspoon of mustard.
Yeah.
Eat a teaspoon of salt.
The cinnamon challenge.
And the mustard one was by far the hardest. And by the way, I did a Ramble Meets this week with Gary Lewin.
And he said, don't just eat mustard.
One of the finest physiotherapy minds this country in the sport has ever produced. Mm. And mustard was not mentioned once.
Yeah,
so draw your own conclusions. But either he's a fraud or...
To be fair though, Luke, has he ever managed a team of adult rats?
Yeah.
I didn't get to it.
I'm just saying they're affordable... They're scalable. Everyone's got access to rats. They're everywhere.
Well, yeah.
Let's start a professional football league.
Some of those players have been referred to as rats by the tabloids.
Yeah.
Can I just say that? While I mention it, because I just thought of it, with Gary Lewin when we Ramble Meets him, he's such a lovely man that after the Ramble Meets, he did a sports injury clinic with me and Sam.
Cool.
He showed us the stretches we need to do, all sorts.
Really?
All for free.
Yeah.
That's the invoices.
Did you feel bad because that time you laughed at him when he got injured on the touchline against Italy at the World Cup? Yeah.
Did you cut the audio of that in?
Did no mention
we've
it.
We've got emails to you.
Well worth a listen, though. Ruben from Ann Arbor. When do the betting markets open for Michael Carrick returning as caretaker manager in 2022 when Mourinho malaise kicks in after winning a trophy in 2021? Rudy.
Yeah.
That was emails. So we're going to get to the show. It's shortfootballrambledaily.com.
Love it. Love it. Now it's time for a break.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. United Healthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? We're nearly at the end of the Premier League season, so I'm pretty drained. So many tense matches, and some not so tense, as well as point deductions, a battle for the title, and teams on the brink of relegation. All that suspense has me needing a well-deserved break.
With the year in full swing, it can be easy to get swept up in work, social engagements, even keeping up with all this football, and we can spread ourselves too thin. But with therapy, you can learn to prioritise your time and really recharge your batteries. It's helpful for learning how to set personal boundaries and empowering you to be the best version of yourself, because you should spend your time on your own terms. So, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/ramble today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/ramble.
Welcome back to the preview show on Football Ramble Daily, sponsored by Betway.
Yeah, don't forget to subscribe to Football Ramble Daily wherever you get your pods so you don't miss an episode. There's something in there for everyone. And if you want to be super smart and be one of our favourite listeners officially, you need to get involved on the Patreon. Mm. It's patreon.com/footballrambledaily. There's all sorts of available extras for you, including membership of our Discord for just $5 a month. That's less than the price of a coffee in London. Ugh. Can't complain about that. And one other thing I wanted to say very quickly is, are we going to do Man City-Chelsea next?
Oh, yeah.
That's how big a week it is. Yeah. Man City-Chelsea is in the second half. Yeah. I can't believe it.
Narrative aside, this is a thigh rubber. I mean, it's not, because obviously what's going to go on at West Ham.
But thigh rubber is West Ham versus Spurs.
Well, it has to be.
Well, that's what I'm saying, yeah.
Has to be.
Yeah, but this is still, you still rub your thighs somewhat, Jim.
Mm. Well, but you're more looking at the dugout, aren't you? With West Ham.
Well, no, West Ham Spurs are massive games.
Would Sky Sports do a dugout camp?
Hang on, one at a
time. On the pitch, this is surely a better game.
Will Mourinho be wearing a suit or a tracky top? Yes. It'll be a tracky top, won't it?
Remember Diego Cam? They could have Mourinho Cam, couldn't they?
They could do, yeah. Do you know what? Diego Maradona has parted ways with Gimnasia.
It
was on the same day as Pochettino. I thought, hang on. You know, this seems to be just a coincidence, and Maradona, it obviously turned out to be.
Maradona leaving a job. Marcus, careful. There are drinks in the studio. Drop them or knock them over with excitement.
Marcus also, was the same publication you read that Maradona is linked to Spurs, the same one that said that Brendan Rodgers is linked as well.
It could have been.
Yeah, apparently Maradona left because there was some sort of boardroom election and his ally in the boardroom didn't win. So I was like, right, I'm off.
Was his ally a huge bag of cocaine?
Yes.
When you say ally, do you mean alibi?
Multi-purpose fixer, I would imagine.
All right then. Well, Manchester City do play Chelsea. And the evening kickoff on Saturday. And of course, Chelsea, some of their players are rather buoyed by international break and so on. Yeah. Tammy Abraham, Mason Mount, we're looking at you, said to be on cloud nine after their first goals for England. Apparently, Tammy Abraham was, I don't know if Mason Mount filmed him or photographed him, but Abraham was watching the highlights back, assuming maybe in the hotel later.
Yeah.
And he was like properly celebrating his goal for
England. You would be,
which is wonderful,
It's an amazing, amazing feeling, surely. I imagine I've never scored for England. I'm not the Nuge. This is such an exciting game, suddenly. Do you think there's going to be a lot of goals in this? This feels like a potential ding-dong to me.
I'm kind of put in the mind of when Maurizio Sarri's Chelsea went to Man City and got absolutely destroyed 6-0. Aguero got a hat-trick, didn't he, that day? But obviously a lot has changed since then. It will be an interesting test of Frank Lampard's credentials because they've improved a great deal, but people still have a few concerns about what they're like defensively, and of course they'll be tested to the limit here.
I think that's been levelled at Man City recently as well, to be fair, so it's kind of...
We'll
see goals, I reckon, in this one.
It's become increasingly baffling, and I don't know what the rest of you guys think about, that for City to go into this season with the centre-back options they've got.
It just looks
like a massive, massive own goal. I mean, they find themselves 9 points behind Liverpool now. Now I know that they were able to overturn a deficit around Christmas last season. But there are other factors in this now, and if they get even just one more injury defensively, I mean, they're in big trouble.
It's always likely, isn't it, that you're going to be without one of your sort of key players for a season. You can't ever expect to not have that sort of misfortune come your way. So it does seem really surprising given how well City are run and how meticulous Pep Guardiola is.
There's no excuses to not to have. But if Pep just doesn't see anyone out there I know they were in the market for Maguire and stuff, but I don't know.
It looks to me like he's kind of second-guessed himself, because you could easily say, well, Guardiola has got a track record of being able to manufacture a centre-back from somewhere, yes. right? And Barcelona, he turned Mascherano into one. Mm. He's brought young players through. Mm. And he might have taken a look at the young player options he had at the start of the season and thought, one of those can step up, or I can change. And I mean, it was the biggest open secret in football that Fernandinho was probably going to go there.
Yeah.
But it's not really happened for them. And the reason it's not really happened is because Rodri has been injured and every other option in that holding midfield role doesn't bring to the team what Fernandinho brings. They're either not as good in tight spaces or they don't have a defensive mindset, and Fernandinho has both those things at a very, very high level. So what's happening when they move Fernandinho there, who's 34, it kind of leaves them short elsewhere.
It does, yeah. Well, you'd think in January that they would surely go after a centre-half, but then... But then everyone will know they're after a centre-half and will...
Makes it harder, yeah.
Yeah, put the pricey. Price way up.
I feel sorry for Christian Pulisic. This is the sort of game that you, as a footballer, you want to play in.
Yeah.
And obviously he's just been getting better and better. He's found his place in the team and it looks like he's going to miss out due to a hip injury. So
it is a shame.
Bit of a shame.
Yeah, it is.
I like... Sorry, Marcus, very, very quickly. I was going to say there's a lot of heat and a lot of chat around Eric Garcia, the young Spanish centre-back for City. Mm. And people were expecting to see a bit more of him. I think he's only featured once in the Premier League as a substitute so far, and it looks like they're going to line up with Fernandinho and Stones at the back again. It's like,
I don't know. You've got to, I suppose you've got to expect that Guardiola knows his squad well enough to know when someone is.
He knows nothing, like. Jim.
And if you put him in, he just looks like he's flapping.
Pep Guardiola, I'll tell you something now. Pep Guardiola, when he looks back on his managerial career, he's going to say, "I wish I listened to the Football Ramble more."
Well, absolutely. I think genuinely, actually, though, the problem is, even in a situation like this,
it's enough people listening to the Football Ramble.
Well, there's that.
Yeah. But tell your friends, like and subscribe.
It's another sliding doors moment, isn't it? Obviously, Guardiola's had a lot of success at City and they've done a lot of impressive things, but we all know that the first choice was Brendan Rodgers.
to be centre-back.
Are now starting to appear.
Spectre at the feast, isn't it?
to be centre-back for City.
Yeah. They are. There's the proof.
Oh,
there's some national newspapers saying...
It's the Sun.
Yeah, exactly. There's a lot of stuff, Marcus.
Got the Metro as well.
Not even reading that muck.
That's the most important thing when you're hosting a show. Just scroll through, find the link.
Yeah. Needless to say, you had the last laugh.
Well, I'm just saying it was reported.
I'm going to ramp up the goal for glory difficulty. Please, it's going to be a Pompey or an Arsenal player.
But Chelsea, Peter, are conceding a fair few goals. They're scoring a lot of goals, but they're conceding. But Manchester City are comfortably the top scorers in the league. Mm. So therefore, even though this could be a bit of a ding-dong, you have to have Man City as favourites, of course, because, I mean, the reason why, they're the champions, for crying out loud, and they're obviously ahead of Chelsea. But looking at the stats as well...
Chelsea, the form team in the league, though.
They are.
They've won their last six, yeah. maybe more than that.
Tammy Abraham, away from home, is some sort of goal machine as well. Brilliant. Yeah.
Well, Man City, they will need to win, of course, to keep up with Leicester and Liverpool. But what a chance for Man City, you know, because they will be favourites against Chelsea, with Liverpool are away to Crystal Palace. And that is a place where people can drop points, of course. Usually it's Crystal Palace.
Crystal Palace are better. Am I right in saying Crystal Palace are better away from home?
They are away from home, which is why Roy Hodgson, I think, is... putting up signs saying welcome to Anfield around the ground to hoodwink his players.
Yeah, a big problem. Near 4 sheet of paper just in the cop.
Get someone to hold it up.
Yeah.
A big problem Palace have got is they've only had four different goal scorers in the Premier League this season. It's like that.
Imagine if Palace and Liverpool walk out at Selhurst Park and the first thing you hear is, when you walk.
Well, it's the Roy Hodgson derby, of course, at Selhurst Park.
Yeah, Liverpool Hall of Famer and soon to be Crystal Palace Hall of Famer.
You'd say so, wouldn't you?
Yeah.
You would say so.
Oh, you should also take this opportunity, Marcus, in some way to... I mean this sincerely. I'm not trying to take the piss. That I was wrong about Wales.
You were wrong about Wales. Yeah, well, Wayne Hennessy kept a clean sheet against Hungary.
He
pulled off a couple of really decent saves.
Did.
Quite an important time. I was enjoying that.
They shouldn't have let him make those saves, the forwards, but it's still credit.
End
with
the
goalkeeper.
Day, what was it? What was I worried about?
Yeah. What were you worried about?
Absolutely delighted for Wales. It's so
Aaron
great.
Ramsey, eh?
Mm. Yeah.
Coming back in the side.
Did
you know what was funny with the first Wales goal, actually, was when Bale whips in a beautiful cross and Ramsey meets it, which is what a combination, those two. That's exactly.
You just want to see that over and over
exactly
again.
Exactly what you want.
No one would have thought to defend headers.
No, indeed. But the way they all ran over to celebrate was like, yes! And then Ramsey was like, hang on a minute, we're only 15 minutes in. We need a win here. Right, everybody quickly.
I best go and get another.
Yeah.
I liked it when Bale, well, he got a third, didn't he? So annoying that. Well, I liked it when Bale said the F word in a post match.
Oh, yeah.
The flag as well. The flag,
Wales, Madrid.
Golf Madrid in that order.
Well, that's what I think it was one of the Real sponsored newspapers went with, and I think that's been turned into a t-shirt. What a t-shirt!
Yeah.
I'd buy that.
But have you seen? There's amazing footage going around that cameraman Sam sent me of Gareth Bale, and I think possibly Joe Allen spotting the flag in the crowd, pointing to it, and just openly cracking up at it. It's like it's amazing.
Well, and then they got it down because they had it in front of the team.
Incredible power move.
The thing is, they didn't need to bring it down in front of the team, point at it and laugh.
If you want to know what Real Madrid think about it, listen to yesterday's OTC.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Because Lars and Andy think it's hilarious.
Yes.
Are they angry about it?
Well, I think Real Madrid are angry because Bale hasn't been fit for 6 Real Madrid games,
right,
and all of a sudden he's perfectly fit for Wales. Two inspirational performances, and then takes the piss at the biggest club in the world in front of the world's media.
But didn't Zidane say on this one, he said he's fit, but he's not playing
It's like the whole Ronaldo thing at Juve. Ronaldo's now decided the most important thing to Cristiano Ronaldo is to break the international goals record.
He's essentially
mugging Juventus off, who, by the way, are paying him 30 million euros a year.
I mean, to be fair, it's not David Beckham mugging off LA Galaxy to come back and do like media appearances.
Or in a Newcastle.
This is two of the biggest clubs in the world getting mugged off. Yeah. I love it. A lot of time for that.
I love it if Gareth Bale scores a winning goal in the Euros next summer and for his celebration pulls his Welsh shirt up and he's got a Real Madrid shirt underneath.
Yeah.
Now you're talking. I don't think Palace will be able to put, if you want any kind of serious point from me, which I'm assuming you do, you might not, I don't think Crystal Palace can deal with Liverpool.
No.
Well, at the time of recording, Andy Robertson and Mo Salah are both doubts.
I still don't think Crystal Palace can deal with Liverpool.
And Sadio Mane and Roberto Firmino and Alisson and Van Dijk.
I'm going to go
Klopp.
With this.
Hang on.
Keep going.
Still got enough.
I probably still don't think Palace can deal with
Liverpool. Is Lallana on the bench or not?
I don't know. I assume he will be. Andros Townsend. Peter was saying before the game that they need to be at their best to beat Liverpool.
You've got to Google,
but he thinks that they can do it.
Tell me Brighton right back, and I might change my mind.
Well, I mean, Liverpool, obviously, it'd be interesting because Man City could drop points to Chelsea. It's probably more likely. So interesting times at the top as it often is. But you know, can Roy the boy throw a spanner in those title race works?
Yeah,
he would enjoy it.
I wanted Jim to give his point of view.
Yeah, I don't think he can.
I don't think
he's the type to throw spanners around.
No.
Jim, too much of a gentleman.
Jim, did Roy Hodgson walk alone as Liverpool manager?
Yeah, he did, didn't he?
So he would love to get one over on them, I'm sure, even though he's too polite to say, even though he's like a massive patriarchal owl, he would still like to get one over on him. Even if he just celebrated at home on his own with a glass of wine with his wife
and didn't say anything publicly,
he would love it.
And some poetry in 5 different languages.
Yeah. And what sort of mouse? Like a field mouse. Uh-huh. Yeah.
Whichever unlucky thing
this weekend,
is under his gaze.
This weekend, one thing for certain is Eric Dier's going to be starting for Spurs.
Yeah.
He's loving that appointment.
Could Mourinho push for an emergency loan move for Marouane Fellaini?
Yeah.
That's what we're all thinking.
Sissoko right back.
Yeah. Which, to be fair, he's played anywhere.
Honestly, Mourinho going to Spurs, Eric Dier's thinking, might get that Euro squad. I am going to get some playing time. But there we are.
All right, what about Betway's fourth to score then, guys? It's free, of course. All you've got to do is pick the first goal scorer in Betway's 4 selected matches each round. If you're correct, you can win up to £250,000. It's rolled over and over and over. It just shows you that it's not just us being useless. No one has been able to do it for a decent while now. So get over to betway.com/4 to score. That's slash the number 4 and then to score for your chance to play for free. Of course, you must be over the age of 18 and do make sure your selections are submitted before the first game. And further T's and C's apply. Because there's 4 games and there's 4 of us, we do a game each. regular listeners know it works by now. Jim, I'm going to come to you for the aforementioned Crystal Palace v Liverpool.
Yes, I've gone for Sadio Mane just because he is a goal machine this season and most seasons. And as we've discussed, I think Liverpool are going to have a bit too much for Palace.
Do you know what, Jim? You don't need to explain yourself because 100% of our correct selections on this show have been by you.
Oh, mm-hmm.
So you stick your player out there, mate, and yep. we just move on. Pete, you've got Brighton v Leicester.
I have got Brighton v Leicester, and I've gone for Shane Duffy. Scores a few goals on his disc. Got five last season. He's on one at the moment.
With his bonds, normally.
He could pop up.
So and Brighton not scoring a lot, Leicester scoring a lot. You go for a Brighton defender.
When you disrespect outrageous. A man like Brendan Rodgers, who marks his presence, a team that are on the verge of the Premier League title.
We've already proved that we can't do this, Marcus. Yeah. So
let's not try even more.
I am literally trying, you mess.
All right. You mess.
If Shane Duffy scores, it'll definitely be off the dome piece.
Spicy, isn't he? Too much spice in this show.
Man City, it's a spicy meatball.
It's a spicy meatball. We've had mustard, we've had spicy meatballs.
Six games in the last three games for Brighton, so you know they're doing all right.
Six goals in the last three games.
Six goals, not six games in the last three games. That'd be exhausting.
No, I'm knackered. I've got Man City, Chelsea. I've gone for Sergio Aguero. I'm going to regret saying this, but I very nearly went for Tammy Abraham here. But I reverted to type. Marcus, you have got Sheffield United v Man United, and I believe you've got yet another spicy meatball to bring to the table.
Indeed, Mr. Mousset.
Oh.
Yeah, I think so. He's created a few of late. He's due a goal. He's got a few this season.
They've been very tight at home.
They have been very tight at home, yeah.
I think you've got to have Sheffield United favourites this game.
I think so.
So that's four to score. If all those players score first in their respective games, we will win at least a share of £250,000, which we will be given to charity as much as it will pain us. So yeah, get involved. Betway.com/4to-score. It's free to play, but do bet the responsible way.
Indeed. Now it's time for Go for Glow!
So the heat is on and the time is right. It's time for you, for you to play the game. As people are coming, everyone's trying to be the best that they can. To reach for the sky where the stakes are so high. We're all going for going for
Glowed. Hello, it's time for going for Glowed. Just grabbing my clue from my phone. I've basically done a screenshot of the email, so it's all among my weird pictures in my gallery. Ah. I've got a man who's selling a mattress on Facebook Marketplace.
All right. He's on it as well.
He's on it as well. Also for sale, some used tights and a used Deliveroo bag. So I'll be buying those later on. They'll be delivered to the studio post haste. But now it's time for Going for Glowed. Thank you to Daniel James, not that one, for the clues on this one. I was born in Edinburgh, Scotland in 1971.
Edinburgh.
Stop. I'm just going to stick it out there, chaps. Mm-hmm. Gary McAllister.
No.
Ooh, nice.
Good shout, though.
I'll have Gary Mackay. He'd probably be able to.
No. John Hawkes.
No.
In Edinburgh. Isn't he American?
I think he was.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. No, I'm thinking of John Collins for some reason.
If it's John Collins,
it's John
that doesn't
Collins,
count.
That's a nightmare, isn't it?
I played over 300 Premier League games from 1995 to 2005.
How many?
300.
10-year stint.
Not bad.
So what were the years again?
95 to 2005.
Might be a household name.
Edinburgh, you say.
Yeah.
Eh?
Yeah.
I have three Scotland under 21 caps to my name, two Scotland B caps, and the solitary full international cap given by none other than Craigie Brune.
Stop.
Tony Hibbert.
No.
This is in Marcus' wheelhouse.
Massively.
Right in your wheelhouse, Marcus. Sure Tony Hibbert's English.
He only had one Scottish cap.
Yeah, what's wrong with me today?
You only had one full Scotland cap, did you say?
Yeah, it's what he said, under Craig Brown.
Yeah, okay. Right.
I've noticed that's a bit of a delaying tactic from Spells.
Yeah, he loves that.
Yeah, he loves a bit of that.
What was that?
Yeah. Outrageous. Yeah. Play acting.
Yeah.
Can you repeat the
winding
question?
winding down the clock. I won a runners-up medal in the FA Cup final in 2003. Ooh. That's a good clue.
Southampton Arsenal.
Good clue.
Yeah.
I moved north of the border in 2005, where I won back-to-back SPL titles in 2006 and 2007.
It's out of order. I'm not going to remember.
2006 and 2007.
I'm not going to memorise Southampton players.
Stop. All right.
No.
Don't worry about it.
Stop, Stephen Davis.
That's not Stephen Davis.
I just wondered if he had like
it's Northern Ireland.
No, yeah. I know, but I wondered if there was some sort of little quirky thing. But it wasn't.
Bridge. Could have been over the Boris Bridge.
It could have been.
I started my career at Luton and was picked up by big Ron Atkinson. That's not a word that we usually use for him nowadays. In the summer of 1995 to sign for Coventry City. Started the career at Luton and then went to Coventry City under Ron Atkinson.
Alex Ray?
Not Alex Ray,
he's played more for Scotland.
But good that you've chosen a player that could fit the brief.
This is, it feels is one of these nightmare ones where it feels like you should get it, but I've not got a clue.
This season, the listeners have been too good at this.
Yeah, they really have. It's been brilliant. Following Coventry's relegation in 2001, I was signed by my ex-teammate Gordon Strachan, who converted me from a right midfielder into a right back.
So this is the Chris Kirkland team at Coventry.
Mm-hmm.
And I think if he went on to play for Southampton, I think he might be a midfield player.
Well, he just said went from right midfield to right back.
Oh, sorry.
Converted by Strachan.
No, yeah, I don't listen to it, Pete. I don't listen to it.
Okay.
But that's Scotland, case. So he's obviously...
That was the final clue.
Oh, what? Was it? Yeah. Oh, fucking hell.
No. Give us another one.
He has two legs. Although I don't know whether he might have lost one.
Yeah. Give us his first name.
Right, no, I don't know.
Gordon. It's not Gordon Bennett, is it?
That was your clue, Mark.
So what was the last clue? Go on, repeat so I've got a bit more
following
time.
Following Coventry's relegation in 2001, I was signed by Gordon Strachan, my ex-teammate, who converted me from a right midfielder into a right back.
Ex-teammate?
Because Strachan was player manager.
Played quite late, didn't he?
And so he won the... oh, my goodness.
I'm going to give you the answer.
Go on.
I am Paul Telfer.
Oh! Yeah, it is Southampton. It is Southampton.
Lovely.
Gutting.
So, well done to... Let me up my phone again. Daniel James for those fantastic
Well done
clues.
To Paul Telfer.
That was going for gold.
Could have been Paul my Telfer God. Emailing about Daniel James.
It could have been.
Yeah. I don't think I would have got that at all.
No. I think we could have been here until next Friday.
Mm. Yeah, fortunately, we're not going to be that. No. Well, ladies and gentlemen, thank you for listening to the preview show sponsored by Betway. I'm back tomorrow with Jonathan Wilson for Greatest Games in association with the Blizzard. Get your lug holes around that. Thank you very much, Luke Moore.
Jose Mourinho, you've already stole the show. You are the special one and you're dynamo. Whoa, whoa.
Jose Mourinho. Yes. Thanks, Peter. And thanks, Jimmy.
Cheers. We love you, Josie. We welcome back anytime.
Josie, we're ringing you. Hartley's keep a lid on it.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember. Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I actually got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would think of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more... then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.